martini.
Подняло мне тут бабу, а Бокин.
Welcome everyone to Jawa Jabber, your home for all things Star Wars, broadcasting from Utini Radio in a galaxy far, far away. I'm your host, Dennis the Phantom Menace, and I'm joined by my best friend and always enthusiastic co-host, David Wren.
Hey everyone! So, we're at a turning point with this show. Up until now, our episodes have been focused on the final season of The Clone Wars. Now that that's over, Dennis and I want to take this opportunity to kind of find our own voice within the fandom. Our episodes will more than likely focus on a specific topic, but we'd also like to cover some upcoming events, certain news that we find interesting, and just generally anything related to this wonderful fandom we both love so much.
Yeah, on today's episode, we're actually going to be having a special guest that we've been teasing for a while now, but we've all finally been able to sit down and chat about our thoughts surrounding all the happenings in the Star Wars fandom as of late, including a short recap of the final season of The Clone Wars, what we really enjoyed, maybe some of the things that David didn't like so much, and...
Seriously? Call me out already?
Yeah, just kind of a chance for us to put this chapter of Star Wars behind us as we eagerly await what comes next.
We're also going to cover our various May the 4th shenanigans, what we did while in quarantine, other than wait crazy amount of time to purchase our merchandise.
Yeah, I can't wait for next year when we can just wait in line.
Right? I mean, who thought that we'd be, like, anxious to wait in a line again?
I never thought that. But nope. Anyways, it's another first for us this episode because, like I said before, we're being joined by a very special guest and co-host. He's been one of our strongest supporters from day one. He's a huge fan of The Clone Wars, and we are honored to welcome him to the show. So without further ado, kick back, relax, and get ready to experience the power of this fully armed and operational podcast.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is where the fun begins.
Miss, I'm busting with happiness seeing you again.
Comfortable? You're my guest. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
At last, where have you been?
Commence primary ignition.
Hello there, everyone. Welcome to another exciting and special edition episode of Jawa Jabber. And boy, do we have a treat for all of you today. We're so glad to have our special guest here on the show. Welcome, Kyle. How's it going, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I guess the first thing we wanted to ask you is how to pronounce your last name the correct way, because I never know how.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
It's Tetzlaff.
Tetzlaff.
It's almost like it's... Yeah, almost... It's spelled T-E-T-Z-L-A-F-F, but it's pronounced like L-U-F-F. That makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to make sure we got it right.
Oh, yeah, I get all kinds of pronunciations. It's quite all right.
Have you thought of a podcast name? You know how, like, I'm David Wren and Dennis is Dennis the Phantom Menace?
Oh, man.
Like,
I'd
Kyle,
love something
like,
prequel related.
Right, I'm sure.
But
I kind of
like,
thought that.
Kylo something only makes sense because
right.
Kylo, you know, it's already so close. So
right.
I'll think of something, though.
All right, cool. Sounds good. We'll get back to you by the end of the episode.
Yeah. Well, so both of us also, we teased it earlier, we want to talk to you about a few things, including, you know, Clone Wars wrapping up, how your May the 4th went, a bit of Star Wars news, all that. So, you know, let's just get right into it. How was your May the 4th, aka Star Wars Day?
Oh, man. I imagine it's like a lot of other people's. I tried to watch as much Star Wars as I could. Like any other day that we get into a Clone Wars episode with Disney+, I woke up at 3 a.m. Eastern time when it went live. I was a few hours south visiting family, and so I FaceTimed my little brother when we watched it to get each other's reactions. So yeah, watched that, got a couple more hours of sleep, had Revenge of the Sith and Mando on during the workday, caught the new episode of The Gallery, I love that, and that was about it.
All right, what did you do, David?
Nice. Yeah, well, I was getting ready to go to bed when you texted me saying, hey dude, the episode's live, so I watched it, and then couldn't fall asleep, so I stayed up online constantly checking the Disney Store website to see if the merchandise was going on sale, and it didn't. And then I woke up and put on The Last Jedi first, and then I watched all four of the last arc of the Clone Wars, the Siege of Mandalore. I watched all four of them together, and that was really cool. And then I had decided a couple days beforehand to do marathon-wise, because I always try and watch like three and have them be like, I don't know, in some kind of order. So I chose the three trilogy cappers, since we now have three trilogies. So I did Return of the Jedi, Revenge of the Sith, and then finished with Rise of Skywalker. Yeah. So, and then, you know, all during those 12 hours was trying to order merchandise from the Disney store.
Yeah, mine wasn't as organized. Mine was like, I had A New Hope on, and I remember I was on the phone with you, and I was like, why isn't it working? Why is this website crashing? Mm-hmm. And I had that in the background. And then later I had The Last Jedi and then Revenge of the Sith. So I just picked three, but I think I watched the Mandalorian docuseries, like the first episode, that night when everything was done.
You know what? I think I did as well, now that you mentioned that. I'm pretty sure I put that on at the end.
Yeah, what did you think of that episode, Kyle?
Oh man, I loved it. I would pay good money just to hear Dave Filoni talk about Star Wars all day. I'm sure you guys saw his speech about Duel of the Fates just went absolutely viral on Twitter and social media everywhere.
Totally.
And that's a drum. Like, I know you guys are prequel supporters. I know David, maybe a little more than Dennis, I'm not sure. But
what makes you say that, Kyle? I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. I feel like every time Dave and I talk about Star Wars, we talk about Revenge of the Sith somehow,
yeah,
no matter what it is.
That's true, actually.
Hey, I gotta say, Revenge of the Sith is my number two favorite Star Wars film. So yeah, I'm a big prequel supporter.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. Glad to hear it. But yeah, that whole conversation about how different everything would have been if Qui-Gon was Anakin's master, and that, you know, it's called Duel of the Fates for a reason. It's not just a cool song. Right. That's a drum a lot of us prequel supporters have been hitting for a long time, just behind the story and the brilliance of the prequels that people don't really realize, and they often take it for granted. So it was great to hear that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dave Filoni is a master of Star Wars. I mean, and he learned from George Lucas. I mean, you know, George Lucas was the Yoda to his Luke Skywalker. And, you know, I think he's really proven with the Clone Wars and the Mandalorian that he knows Star Wars, and I'm really excited to see what he does in the future.
Yeah.
Amen.
For sure. I bet he's very, very happy and satisfied that he was able to finish the Clone Wars in like a way that he felt was the right way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. So another thing we kind of wanted to talk about, I guess, was that, like, we kind of heard, I guess we were texting each other a lot about, you know, the last few episodes of the Clone Wars, and how I think David was talking about on our previous podcast episode that it was something that he wanted to see all at once, you know, because it kind of cut every single time there was a cliffhanger. And I kind of, I feel like I call it like the Filoni cut, like maybe look, put it all together one day.
I like that. The Filoni cut. That sounds cool.
I feel like if we, and, you know, not to cause any more salt being rubbed into the wounds, but if we still have Star Wars Celebration this year at some point, or whenever it happens, I hope that they play that. That would be great to be able to go to a panel and watch all four together with, like, you know, it done really well.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
That would be incredible.
I don't really have any doubt they'll cut it into a movie at some point.
Yeah, what I was telling Dennis, and to rehash for all of our listeners who at this point have probably listened to the episode, even though it's not out yet at the time of recording. but anyway.
Shade, shade.
No shade. No tea, no shade, no pink lemonade. I promise. All right. No. So on May the 4th, I wanted to watch all of them together. And like, you know how when you're playing an episode on Disney Plus, like it gives you, I don't know, 25 seconds or something. And like until it plays the next episode, you know, like that was fine. Like it was better than having to wait an entire week to watch the next episode. But I just love how it can, at least in my head, two of the three, if not all four of them, start immediately where the last one left off. So like it's practically begging to be edited together in my mind.
Yeah, everything besides Shattered started off immediately.
Okay, yeah.
Following the next scene.
I was going to say, I remembered at least one off the top of my head didn't, but I remember the second one started right in the tunnel with Maul, like from the previous one, and I was pretty sure part four happened at the end. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the clone troopers making their way into the surgical room.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, I felt at that point, I was pretty sure it was going to be the clone troopers, but I wasn't sure whether, like, maybe Maul came back for a second round and he was coming through, or, like, I wasn't quite sure what was going to happen at that point, even though I was like, it's probably the clone troopers.
I think it'd be perfect if they turn it into a movie. Just, like George Lucas said, it's poetry, it rhymes. It began with a movie that, didn't really get the most praise, and Ahsoka was hated by a lot of the older fans at first, and then cap it off with what would arguably be a top three or top five Star Wars movie altogether, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Now, what would you call it? Would you call it The Siege of Mandalore, or would you call it something else?
I've seen some conversations about this. I made a joke. I called it Mandalore 66. but
I love that. Oh my god.
Yeah, I tweeted that out a couple weeks ago because someone had the same question. Like, the first half is Siege of Mandalore, the second half is Order 66, what do you call it? I really don't know. I think they will just call it the Siege of Mandalore, especially if we see, like, the Knight of a Thousand Tears somewhere in Mandalorian in a flashback, just to keep that continuity there.
Right.
But no, I'd be really interested to see what they call it. I think it'd just be perfect if they put it into a movie somehow.
Yeah, I really like, I would think it was a couple of years ago or before they brought back, you know, Clone Wars Saved. I think Dave Filoni was talking about, you know, like the painting of Ahsoka's facial markings onto the clone trooper helmets and how he was planning on doing this. And then we finally actually got it. And we actually see it. And I thought, wow, I mean, that would have been cool to see. And then we finally got it, which I thought was just incredible because it was something that was almost like it's never going to happen. And then it did. And that was awesome.
There was a celebration panel, wasn't there? Like where he showed footage or like those story reels or something, wasn't there?
Yeah.
At one of the was it Orlando?
No, it would have been 2015 Anaheim. I think.
Okay. All right.
They showed a bunch of the unfinished reels. Originally, like I think I mentioned the last podcast, the Martez sisters weren't in. It was a different character. Nix Okami, I think is how you pronounce it. They showed some of those reels, the Bad Batch and on Kashyyyk, a bunch of different stuff. And then he showed some of the storyboard with the 332nd troopers, which is just amazing.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely thought that like there were still some stories that they could tell. And maybe if they like, I don't know how it worked with like how financially, you know, stable they were with how many more they could make. But I knew he wanted to make at least one more season. And then I feel like there are a lot of fans that may have wanted to see maybe like, because it's already in a jumbled order, even season seven, because I think Bad Batch was supposed to be after the Martez sisters arc. And like, it's already messed up. So I felt like he could probably do more if they maybe gave him, like you said, like the unfinished story reels or the different ideas of being in Kashyyyk and all that. I was definitely hoping like maybe at some point we would see the Bad Batch again. And maybe if it was a longer season, like if they put it out to like 22 episodes, we might have seen them again. But, you know, we got what we got. And I'm just thankful we got something rather than nothing.
Yeah, it would have been nice if we saw like Dark Disciple and Maul escaping Sidious, because those comic books are fantastic. But then again, you get into the retconning of it, you know, like this Siege of Mandalore already retcons some of this stuff in the Ahsoka book. And I love that novel, but like the blue lightsabers contradicts it in some of the dialogue. And it's not a huge deal, but there'd be no doubt if they turn the comic book version into the Clone Wars show, we would have some retcon. So
I do kind of wish they would have done something with the Darth Maul arc, the Son of Dathomir comic, like, because not everyone reads the comics. I mean, I own it and flipped through it, but I didn't actually read it. Like, I got kind of the main gist of it or whatever. So, like, I knew what was going on, and because I like Darth Maul, so I wanted to know what was going on. But, like, I feel like for someone who's just watching the Clone Wars, it kind of would have been nice to see that jump from he's captured by Sidious, and then all of a sudden he's on Mandalore. So, you know, it would have been kind of a little bit nice to get some of the background on that. But again, if we had a longer season, maybe we would have gotten that.
Yeah, for sure. I think the Son of Dathomir specifically, I like how David and I kind of talked about this in our one of our previous episodes. That specific arc, I like how, and some people might not like this, but I like how Disney is kind of using things from Legends, using things from comics, and kind of piecing it together in their own way, in a way that they feel would maybe not cause as many, you know, contradictions with already currently established canon. I like that they're using, like, they used parts of the Son of Dathomir comic. They used certain parts of Legends for the sequel trilogy. And so they kind of just almost revamped it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, yeah, like our boy Kylo, he's kind of sort of Jason Solo. I think Kylo's a little better than Jason Solo, but that's unbiased.
Oh, man.
I am. No, and I loved Jason Solo. I loved that whole, I loved that they were twins. Kyle, you probably know this. I had the theory back in Force Awakens that Kylo Ren and Rey were twins. Like, they were going to be the twins of this saga, and it didn't happen. And, I mean, you know, I'm okay with it, because they were in love instead. So, you know, they couldn't be twins. Or could they? I mean, it is Star Wars. So, you know.
I think Kyle has a bit of a different perspective on that love part.
He does. I know he does.
No, there's no shame against it or anything like that, but it's Star Wars. You have to relate it somehow, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kyle, I wanted to ask you, and I know this is kind of putting you on the spot, but like out of this, I'm not going to say like the whole Clone Wars series, but maybe just season 7. Was there anything out of those episodes that was like the thing that stood out to you the most? Like if somebody asked you this who wasn't even a Star Wars fan, they're like, what did you really like about it? Because, you know, they may have watched it and they don't understand the full backstory, but like, was there certain scenes, was there certain dialogue that really just makes you think that was something that I really appreciated? I mean, there's a lot of things I know that was great in this entire season, especially the last 4 episodes, but there's anything that stood out to you?
Huh. I was thinking of it. Thank you for talking for a bit there to give me time to think. I would honestly say it's Ahsoka's growth as a character, man. Especially that scene when she lifts up Rex's helmet in the final chapter. And she says something like, they might be willing to die, but I'm not going to be the one who's going to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
That is as great a Jedi as it gets, I would say. And I love that moment, man. And that doesn't hold nearly as much weight for me without the Martez sister arc. Or we can just call it the Ahsoka arc.
Mm-hmm.
But her growth as a character, just from when we first saw her in 2008, the snippy Padawan who calls Anakin Skywalker the Chosen One, Sky Guy, like, who does she think she is? That kind of thing, you know? And just her growth as a character, man, like, she's easily one of my top 3 or 5 favorite characters in this show, the whole saga in general.
Mm, absolutely.
So little moments like that, too. And then I guess one specific scene that stands out to me is, I'm sure the same would be for David and you, when we hear the actual voices from Revenge of the Sith, like Samuel Jackson, Ian McDiarmid, Hayden Christensen, and I love that Maul hears it first. It shows how in tune he is with the Force, and I love those little moments like that that are taken for granted often. And then the doors open and Rex is trembling and drops his helmet, man. Like, I tear up just thinking about it, guys.
Yeah.
I found a video the other day of people, like, they filmed their reactions to that scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent it to Dennis because I am so upset that we did not do that. Because Kyle, I think they actually released the episode a little early because I was definitely asleep by 3 o'clock in the morning and I had already watched it. So I think they actually released it a little early for the final episode. But
yeah,
they actually released it at midnight Pacific time.
That's what okay. Yeah, I would say it was early. But I am very surprised that I did not wake up my 4-year-old nephew who is sleeping in the next room, like over, and our walls are pretty thin. But I am really surprised because I'm watching it and then we get to, we'll just call it the scene. And I was like, I don't want to say I was like screaming at my TV, but like I wasn't silent. And all right, can we just
forcefully yelling?
Right. Yeah, there you go. Can we just get the elephant out of the room and say that Mace Windu is now the most hated character in Star Wars? Like, can we just can we solidify this as a trio?
Yeah, his attitude towards Ahsoka really, as David says, rubbed me the wrong way.
Well, no, it's not even 100%. That. Like, rubbed me the wrong way is when I want to be nice about it. Like, this, there is no nice. He was just a straight up and with no reason. Like, she didn't have to go to them with Maul, you know? Like, she's trying to do them a favor. And he's gonna, and I love, and I mentioned this in our previous episode, I love the reaction, that, and this is all the animation, the reaction that Yoda had mm-hmm. to, like, he gives him this look, you know, like, you can tell that even Yoda's not really okay with the way that Mace Windu's acting.
Yeah, Yoda's like, pipe down, man.
Yeah, pretty much, but he didn't say anything, but, no. But yeah, no, like, oh, I just, I wanted to, he deserved to get thrown out that window. Thank you, Anakin.
Kyle, how did you feel about Mace Windu's remarks about Ahsoka being a citizen and not privy to that information?
I don't know if he's the most hated character in the galaxy, but I don't know if he deserved to get thrown out a window either.
What?
But, yeah, definitely not cool, man. That I don't appreciate the way he treated Ahsoka at all, especially after all she did for them.
Well, exactly. And
I always knew he didn't have the gentle personality after that gunship scene when he just immediately questioned this Anakin as a chosen one.
Mm.
Like, you don't do that, man. Come on.
That's true.
Just blindly follow the prophecy, man. Come on. All the other Jedi already do it.
A prophecy misread could have been.
Yeah, the way he just treated Ahsoka really caught me off guard, to say the least.
I feel like Mace Windu, his character, embodies everything that the Jedi weren't supposed to be and that they became.
Mm-hmm.
And the hubris and the way that he interacted with Anakin, with Qui-Gon, with Ahsoka. He kind of got to this position of power. And David mentioned this in our previous episode, how when you get sometimes in those higher positions, the people below you kind of almost don't matter anymore. And whatever you do is kind of what's, I mean, that's the wrong way to look at it. Of course, that's what his character was played up to be as. But I feel like Yoda in that moment, in that scene where he kind of gives him a bit of a look and then later stays to still talk to Ahsoka, I feel like maybe he's feeling maybe some kind of remorse of like, okay, Mace Windu being on the council and being kind of in charge, maybe not the best idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good point, man.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, Mace Windu represents everything that the Jedi had become and which ultimately led to their downfall.
Which is actually kind of interesting because, you know, in Revenge of the Sith, he talks about being keepers of the peace and not soldiers, and just cut off Jango Fett's head like a couple hours ago.
I was going to say, he loved cutting off Jango Fett's head. He could have just force pushed him and, like, you know, like, paralyzed him. No, I'm going to go for the head. Ba-doom! With your son watching, motherfucker. You know, like, that's exactly what he's going to do.
He didn't apologize to Boba or anything.
No.
Man.
No.
Like, not even like a head, not like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I just decapitated your father.
Right.
But
the poor whiny ass kid is sitting there in the corner, you know, like holding
his dad's
head.
Definitely not the Jedi way. Yeah. But yeah, that's interesting, though, the juxtaposition, though, between him being everything that the Jedi weren't supposed to be and then Ahsoka exemplifying what a Jedi should be.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the compassion.
And ironically enough, Ahsoka wasn't a Jedi at that point.
Right, right. And I like that bit of a parallel there in that, you know, one is going the opposite direction and one is, like you said, not considering herself a Jedi anymore, but having that compassion for others to the point where she didn't even want to slash her way through the clone troopers that wanted to kill her. She was like, all right, Rex, put your guns on stun. We don't want to hurt them because they can't really control this either. They're kind of now programmed robots at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she never became a Jedi, did she? She was always just a Padawan.
Well, she passed the trials at the end of season 5,
oh,
they said, but she never really accepted it, I would say.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's right.
But like you were saying before, she's like the perfect embodiment of what a Jedi Knight should be. One thing I haven't really heard before is that if you think about it, Ahsoka is the closest we get to Qui-Gon Jinn
mm-hmm.
from anyone else.
Mm.
And it's really interesting because the teachings of Obi-Wan and Anakin produced a Jedi that's close to Qui-Gon in her beliefs, in her morals, in her values. And it's really just unique to see that. Like, the Anakin, Obi-Wan can train someone and her end up just like Qui-Gon. And it kind of also shows the failure of the Jedi, you know?
Yeah, that's a great through line from, you know, you had Qui-Gon, like you said, then Obi-Wan, and then Anakin. And then she picked up almost bits and pieces of all three of them, but really, like you said, became more like Qui-Gon than any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's just taking the best of Obi-Wan, the best of Anakin, and that's how you get Qui-Gon.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because Qui-Gon showed that the Jedi have to care and that they're not these, you know, emotionless beings, and Ahsoka gets that from Anakin, I think.
Yeah, definitely. All right, welcome back, everyone, to Jawa Jabber. And we've got our good buddy Kyle here, and we're just, you know, talking about Star Wars.
Yeah,
you don't
for sure.
You don't have the Rona, do you, Kyle? I hear you coughing.
No, no. It's a little okay, stuff good. In here.
Oh, good. All right. That's good. Because, you know, that would be bad if you were one of the ones that, you know, I don't know. Can we pass it over the interwebs?
That's not. No.
I mean,
that's not how this works.
They're saying it can go in the eyes now.
Oh, are they?
Oh, yeah. They're telling me not to wear my contacts. I say, F you. I mean, I've been wearing my contacts since I was 10 years old. I'm not wearing them. Sorry.
All right. Star Wars.
So, speaking of Star Wars and coronavirus. Yeah. So the three of us had plans. Well, we still technically have plans to go to a wonderful little thing called Star Wars Celebration later this summer.
This is very, very bad.
And I kind of just wanted to know, I mean, Dennis and I have talked about this at length, not necessarily on the podcast, but just through our conversation. So Kyle, I kind of wanted to get your input on it. And then Dennis and I can kind of fill in for our listeners who aren't privy to our text messages and our 5-hour phone conversations. You know, like, what is Celebration? You know, what's the plan? What's going to happen because of this terrible virus that we shall not speak its name? That kind of
except
thing.
That you already did. But
I did, but that's all right. We can edit that out, right, Dennis? Because that's what you do best.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So this would or would have been my third Celebration in 2017. Well, I live near Orlando, so I went in 2017 with my little brother just for Saturday. We caught the Rebels panel, the finale panel, where Filoni announced that it would be the last season. We saw the first two episodes, I think. But it was just great, man. Like, that was my first convention ever. Had no idea what they were, really. Didn't get any autographs or photo ops. I had no idea what that was all about. And then went to Chicago. Obviously, I saw David there. It was a great time. Probably the best week of my life.
Such a fun time, right? Oh, my God, dude. Yeah. It was so much fun. It was the best.
So at that point, I'm already a con veteran, I would say. So I don't know.
Yeah, how many have you been to?
Probably a dozen by now. Wow. A couple Aces, MegaCon, all that good stuff. I must have
in 2 years' time too. Because if 2017 Orlando was your first one, that's crazy, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's impressive, man. For sure,
that's most impressive. Impressive.
Most impressive. There you go. But no, I must have gotten like a dozen photo ops and then 15 or 16 autographs during the Celebration, man. It was so much fun just with hanging out with all my friends and meeting new people, seeing the cosplay. That's just the best part. And the panels too. I love the panels.
Right. Yeah. The panels are great. And like, honestly, just walking around the con floor and seeing all the cosplay and just, you know, bumping into people and you just start talking to them about Star Wars. Like, you know, if you bump into someone at the supermarket and you talk to them about Star Wars, they run the opposite direction because they think you're crazy. Like, you know, you do it at Celebration. Not that I've done this, you know, like, this is not a thing. It's not like I work at a grocery store or anything and can do this on the regular. But you know, you do this at Star Wars Celebration and you just, you know, you make lifelong friends and it's fantastic. And sometimes, you know, you decide to make a podcast and then you get all your fellow Celebration people together on the podcast and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've met, I'd say, most of my best friends from Celebration, man. All over the world, like Australia, Europe, everything. It's really just a great place to meet people who have the common interests as you. And it's way different. Like, I know the Star Wars community gets a lot of flack on social media, but I've never once been in an argument with somebody at Celebration about Star Wars, even after Last Jedi came out and all that stuff. It's just a great place to be. And I don't mean to go off on a tangent, but I was in the Rise of Skywalker panel. I got through in the lottery, and I waited, I think, 2 or 3 hours before to make sure everything was good. I had my seat locked down. J.J. Abrams' agent or his assistant brought McDonald's Happy Meals for us at, like, 7 or 8 in the morning, and they had the Chicago Celebration logo on them and everything. So it was weird eating a cheeseburger and fries at 8 a.m. at 8 a.m.
God, it was awesome. That sounds like heaven to me.
Did you keep the box?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I still have it. And we got the beanies with just the yellow IX on it, too, the 9.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little cameo on the local Fox News station for Chicago, I think. I can send you guys that video later. That was pretty cool.
I think I saw that on your Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, but God, that panel, man, like, I had more fun in the panel than I did in the movie, and that's not a knock to the movie. It's just everyone reacting to that trailer, like when Wei jumps over Kylo's ship, and then Palpatine's voice at the end, and then when Ian McDiarmid came out on stage and said, roll it again, and dropped the mic. Like, that was just the most insane experience ever.
For sure. The emotions were definitely super high. I was also in the Wintrust Arena. And it was like you said, you're not trying to knock the movie or anything, but just the amount of people that were there for one single purpose and who were all kind of connected in the force, I guess you could say, it was really cool. And I feel like that's one of the highlights of my life so far. David, I know you loved it. Unfortunately, you were on the convention floor, right?
Yeah, you know what? I was going to say, I have a different perspective of it, but not like in a bad way. So yeah, I did not win the lottery. I was not in the Wintrust Arena. I was on the con floor, and I got there Wei too late because it was already like, I wanted to, in my head, I was getting there early enough and I was going to be like right up there on the Star Wars stage with Andy and Anthony. And well, yeah, that didn't happen because I was a good couple AT-ATs length away from the Star Wars stage. I could see the Star Wars stage.
Oh, hold on. We got to settle this. Kyle, you say AT-AT or AT-AT?
Oh, it's AT-AT, man. Come on.
What?
Here we go.
No Wei.
Come on, man. There's no Wei you're a kid walking around with your toy saying, look at my AT-AT. Nah, man. I guarantee you said AT-AT.
But that's what it is.
Wait. I gotta do even though I'm biased to one side, and I need to be like the deal breaker here. All right, Kyle, for the Imperial Walker that we see on Endor, on the moon of Endor, what do you call that?
Wait, which one are you talking about?
The bipedal one.
The AT-ST? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, see, there you go.
Well, there you go. If you say AT-ST, why don't you say AT-AT?
Oh, it's different, man. Come on. You know,
no, it's not different. It's the same thing. It is not.
Let's just say for the record, Kyle says AT-AT and AT-ST.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, fine.
I think it's been said actually both ways by George, so
I think it has actually. Yeah, and I mean, let's not forget he also called it a laser sword to begin with. So, you know.
Well, so did Anakin, and so did Luke.
So did Anakin, and so did Luke. Yes, exactly. I always thought that was a nice nod to George when he said that.
Just,
you know,
put on your nostalgia goggles. Yeah. One of those little things, you know.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
and also kind of it shows when Anakin says it. It kind of just shows like his innocence and how separated he is from the rest of the galaxy, and I kind of like that.
Yes, sure. Anakin Skywalker was framed.
By whom? Wait, Mace Windu?
Yes! That... Yes! He set him up, and he got back at him by throwing him out a window. It was fantastic.
David, I set you up for that, and you missed it. You should have said Mace Windu.
Oh my God.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was from our last podcast. Yeah.
This is true, yeah. But anyway, David, you were saying you were about how many AT-ATs away from the stage?
I don't know, 3 or 4. And like, so, I mean, there was wall-to-wall people. Like, you could not fit any more people where, like, on the convention floor. Like, it was all centered around that because everyone was watching the panel. Like, nothing else was going on. Like, all the booths surrounding us. Actually, where I was at the really, really expensive helmets and, like,
oh, the EFX booth.
And yeah, that one. Yes, the EFX booth. That's exactly where I was. I was right next to the one Star Destroyer, and then I could see the Darth Vader helmet that I still want, the charred Darth Vader helmet.
Things amazing.
I have to own that. Oh my God. But yeah, I was talking to the guy there. It was nice. So anyway, panel starts and whatever. And then the funniest part was like everyone was silent except for a couple people up. There was like a kid with this guy And he was like, you could tell that he was in it. And the kid was probably like 5 or 6 years old and like could care less about what was going on. And like kept being like, Dad, I want to do this. And he's like, quiet, quiet, quiet. And like, it was so like equal parts awesome. And at the other time, I wanted to pull an Anakin Skywalker on this kid. Like, shut the f- up. Like, we're like, we are listening to every word of this panel. And
we're listening to the Holy Bible of Star Wars here.
Exactly. But yeah, no, like, so when they premiered the trailer, like, it was like, I know you guys had a better experience, but like it was still electric. Like, there was something in the air. Even that kid that wouldn't shut up the entire panel was quiet watching this trailer. And like, there was just like when Rey, like you said, when Rey jumps over Kylo Ren's first TIE fighter of the movie,
or TIE silencer, is that what it is?
Well, yeah, but he has two. For plot conveniences, he has two TIE fighters.
Was it?
Yeah.
Wait, what was it? I don't think it was.
I thought it was a TIE silencer.
Was that silencer? The one from the second one?
See, it's too confusing. We shouldn't have to.
No.
Okay, so the TIE silencer was from The Last Jedi. The TIE whisper was from the Rise of Skywalker.
Gotcha. My bad.
TIE whisper 1 or TIE whisper 2?
Well, the one that she jumps over is apparently TIE whisper 1 because it shows up again later by the Death Star.
Okay.
That she takes to Octo, so.
Right.
Okay. Anyway.
But yeah, so her jumping over the TIE fighter. And then when they showed Lando in the Falcon, like, everyone was like cheering. There was this guy in front of me who was easily 60 or 70 years old. Like, he was weeping. It was so cool. And then the laugh. Oh my God. Like, the laugh that made time stand still. Like, everybody in that. And now I can only imagine, because in the arena, I'm sure it was even louder, but like,
oh, it was insane.
Yeah. Like, I can't imagine it being much louder because people were still like laughing, or not laughing hysterically, but like just like a happy laughter at Palpatine's laughter. And then they revealed the title. So the cheers kind of morphed into that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because at that point we didn't have the title. So not only was the big reveal Palpatine, but the big reveal was the actual title of the film. Yeah, I mean, it was just like you said, we were all there for the same reason. It was a really, and this was my first celebration. So this was the first time I was taking part in any of this. And it was insane. Like, I want it back. And I know I said this about every Clone Wars episode. I want more. I want celebration again. And I think we'll get it, but it just might not be when it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It was actually my first celebration as well. And just having that as like the first memory of your first celebration, it couldn't have gone better. Like, it was it was 5 days of pure bliss. And I felt like it was a labor of love because I drove back and forth home. I didn't have a hotel downtown. So my parents stayed in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. So it was about a 3-hour drive if you count both to the city and back every day. So by the time I got home, you know, I went to sleep and then I woke up and I came back, and it was like, you know, it was just this constant 5-day thing. But it didn't feel like it was it was exhausting physically, but I was mentally just ready for whatever happened that next day and whatever panel I was into. So yeah, it was a highlight of that year for sure. And every time I even see those replays that you were talking about, it still gives me the chills. That was my one panel that I wanted to get into. If I didn't get into that, I was going to riot. I was so, like, I was very nervous that I wasn't going to win that lottery. And I'm so glad I did. But so, kind of moving forward to some of the things that are coming out very soon with Star Wars, we've had a lot of news about who may or may not be appearing in the season 2 of The Mandalorian.
Yeah, can we talk about this, please?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and start us off a bit?
So they're basically, I don't know, it seems like every other day there's a new announcement. Like, it started with Ahsoka, and now it's like Bo-Katan, and it seems like they're bringing, like, I don't know, how do you guys feel about this? Like,
yeah, what do you feel, Kyle?
I see a lot of negativity around it, maybe more than the positive comments. A lot of people,
well, they want Star Wars in general.
Yeah. A lot of people want Mando just to be on his own, and season 1 served great without any cameos really. But I think people are taking this, they're blown out of proportion, to say the least. Rex, Ahsoka, Sabine, they're only going to be in one episode at the most. If they're in two, it'll just be for a brief moment. So based off like those leaked titles we saw a couple months ago, I'm guessing they'll all be in episode 6, The Sorcerer, if that's Ahsoka's episode, and that's what Filoni's directing. So it's not like they're going to overtake the whole show. It'll just be one kind of Rebels episode to set up the sequel animated show, if that happens.
So do you think The Sorcerer might be referring to Ahsoka?
I believe so, probably. Yeah. I've heard some people think it's referred to as Luke. That'd be pretty crazy. I'd love to see it, but
As long as they get Sebastian Stan to do it, that would be great.
That's so funny. I saw that meme again today, the recycled one of how close him ESB Luke are.
It pops up like every couple weeks, you know? Like it recycles around like in the celebration group and like everything. I mean, it is kind of uncanny. And like I have wanted a sequel forever. Like I've told Dennis this when I was in high school. And I was upset that there was no Star Wars content other than the prequels, which I loved, but I wanted a sequel. So I wrote a sequel. I wrote like a whole television show, like couple seasons worth of, you know, like the further adventures of Luke and Han and Leia and like everything. Like I wanted that. And like, I think me personally, and I know Disney's going to try and steer away from the Skywalker saga, but like, I would still like to see something, maybe like a Disney Plus series. And I think like, if they find the right people, they can recast, you know, those characters. You know, you're not going to want to see a 70-year-old Mark Hamill playing a 30-year-old Luke Skywalker. You just don't, you know what I mean? Like you have to recast, and that's okay. Like, I don't think if the story is strong enough, I think you can recast.
Yeah, I'm probably the minority,
but I don't know if
I'd rather if they do continue Luke's story, like between Jedi and Force Awakens, I'd rather see it animated, honestly. Like this, what we got in Clone Wars Season 7 is just fantastic. And then you can still have Mark Hamill's voice.
That's true.
And the guy is one of the best voice actors in the business. True. So he could easily play 20, 30-year-old Luke.
Ooh, and maybe he could talk to Force Ghost Anakin, played by either Hayden or Matt, or maybe both. Who knows?
That'd be incredible.
Yeah, that would be cool. You know, the one thing that I think it's pretty much at this point confirmed is that Temuera Morrison is reprising his role as Boba Fett.
Is that confirmed, though?
It's not on StarWars.com, but, you know, with all of the merchandise that we've had, I know it's because of probably partly because of 40th anniversary for Empire.
I was going to say, I just took that as 40th anniversary of Empire, yeah.
But I think that there's more to that, especially since we kind of hear like the boot spurs. Yeah. People are speculating about that in the last episode of The Mandalorian, that specific one where he finds Fennec Shan, I believe. I would love to see that. But you know what I would love to see even more? It would be really interesting if Temuera Morrison was voicing Boba Fett, but then at some point in some episode in season 2 of The Mandalorian, we get Ahsoka as potentially Rosario Dawson, but then also Temuera playing Rex as well.
A lot of people have said that too.
Yeah, I just think it'd be really funny to see, like, you know, kind of like a side-by-side, like, because they both would have helmets on maybe at that point, and like Boba Fett's talking to Rex, and it's like, it's Temuera Morrison talking to himself, and like, you know, like, hey, D. Bradley Baker, you think you can be all of me? No, maybe I can just, you know, I can be talking to myself with these two awesome characters.
Yeah, that'd be so cool.
If they do show Boba Fett, they better do a flashback to him blowing up the Sarlacc pit. That's all I want.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we need to know.
Because from the first time I read that in the Expanded Universe, I forget what book it was or if it was just a reference or whatever. It has been an image that has been in my head pretty much since I have been a fan of Star Wars. And I remember I have a book. It's all about the Expanded Universe. It's basically a book of like what happened in the Expanded Universe. And it's written out like a story, right? Like almost like a storybook kind of. And it has all these illustrations, like some pages, it's just like little bits. And then there's like these full page illustrations. And one of the full page illustrations is Boba Fett shooting his way out of the Sarlacc pit. Mm. And like, I wish I had that framed and like, you know, on my non-existent wall space that I have, because it's one of my favorite images of the Expanded Universe is him blowing his way out of the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, there's some really great fan art of that too that I've seen.
I think there was a statue at some point too. I don't know if it was Hot Toys or what's that brand that does like the busts and the statues and stuff.
Sideshow and Gentle Dive.
Sideshow, yes. Yeah. Like I think it was one of those. Like it's like the Sarlacc pit and then Boba Fett's like coming out of it. Like it's, I think I saw that in New York City one time.
Another thing, because we just mentioned Bo-Katan, that is a rumor, but I feel like because of all the hints that Katie Sackhoff has been dropping on her Twitter, she's been kind of talking about it a little bit for a while. And I think they're going to actually use her in the live action form because she's voiced Bo-Katan in the Clone Wars.
Now, why does she get a pass and gets to play the live action character and someone like Ashley doesn't?
Well, Katie's had a lot more on-screen acting experience. And that's not me doubting Ashley at all. Like, I love Ashley Eckstein. She's one of the sweetest people I've ever met in my entire life.
Oh, I think we all love Ashley. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. But I think for these roles, they just wanted proven actors. Like, Rosario Dawson is one of the most talented actresses around. And it's also cool that she was in Shattered Glass with Hayden Christensen.
Right. I was just going to say that. Yeah. So, like, I mean, and I know Rosario Dawson is, you know, and she's a name. Like, you know, she could bring... Yeah. Potential viewers to it or whatever, but like, as Star Wars often does, let Ashley voice it, you know, even if she's not going to be her in live action, like, let Ashley voice it. I mean, look at James Earl Jones and David Prowse. They're both equally Darth Vader.
Yeah, I completely agree, but to me the thing
look
is
at Sam Witwer and Ray Park, you know, even as soon as Solo, you know, like that was just 2 years ago, and I know it was a small part, but
yeah, the thing with that is like Vader has a mask on, and same with Mando. Like, I'm sure you guys know Pedro's not in the suit most of the time. I think maybe less than half the time, probably. But they're in a suit. It's a lot easier to voice over when someone's in a suit. And then with Maul, like with Rey and Sam, that's a great combination. But again, it was on a hologram, and it was 30 seconds. If Ahsoka's the focal point of a long episode and she gets her own live action show in the future, it'd be incredibly difficult and almost maybe unsettling to have a voice that might not quite match the look of the character, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like if she's doing, you know, a lot of maybe her own stunts, she may have some kind of more background, obviously, than Ashley would. But yeah, I mean, I do kind of feel like I kind of feel for Ashley because she's been voicing this character for so long. And I don't know how she feels about it. She obviously doesn't express every single personal thought she has.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I just want to give her a chance, you know, see what Rosario can do. Yeah. And in this case, specifically, if she's doing things more than like a 30-second cameo, it would definitely be one of those moments where I always feel like it's difficult to go from a animated show to live action. So it may be a little off-putting at the start, but I think we'll get used to it.
And the thing is, Ashley will always be Ahsoka, man. She's the embodiment of Ahsoka. She brought this character to life. And maybe she did get a chance. We never know. We haven't even seen a picture of Rosario as Ahsoka yet. So she very well could have gotten a chance, and they just have to keep it hush-hush.
I actually just posted something on our Facebook page that was an art concept of Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka. I think it looks pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, I think she'll knock it out of the park.
Oh, yeah, I'm not knocking Rosario. Like, I like Rosario Dawson. Like, I really do. I mean, she was great in Daredevil. And, I mean, she's done a whole bunch of movies. She was in Rent, which is close to my heart. You know,
she was just in Zombieland, too, also.
But, yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, like, you know, no, I mean, I love her. I just, you know, when I think Ahsoka, I think of Ashley.
I think we all do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when Clone Wars started, and I was all pissed off that they didn't get Hayden to voice Anakin.
And now you love Matt Lanter.
I do love Matt Lanter. Oh my god, I really do. Like, they're both Anakin. You know, like, I mean, there's Hayden Anakin, and then there's Matt Anakin.
I was just saying, and then there's the mix of them for that line.
Oh, that's what I was gonna say. Like, I love that they had Matt record "What Have I Done?" and like, you know, it didn't sound bad. It didn't, like, it worked. It was oh my god. It's,
you never realize how close their voices are until they overlap like that.
Right.
You know?
Right, exactly. Yeah, because I mean, I remember when I first started watching Clone Wars, I was like, okay, this sounds nothing like Anakin. And, like, I was upset, not just because it wasn't Hayden, but, like, because Obi-Wan sounded like Obi-Wan. Yoda sounded like Yoda. Mace Windu sounded like Mace Windu. And, you know, so, like to me, it kind of stood out that Anakin didn't really sound like Anakin. But, again, I got used to it, so.
Now, can you guys imagine, just imagine for me, with me, Ahsoka meeting Baby Yoda.
Oh my god.
Like, it'll be my screensaver for the rest of history.
Like, I don't know, man. That crossover might be too much for me to handle. You imagine her holding Baby Yoda or whatever its name is?
My heart would explode with emotions, man.
You know what its name is? So I think we described what its name is. Do you remember what we said, David?
I do not.
Maybe we described what the first words would be out of its mouth. No, it was McClunky. Remember?
Oh, right, McClunky. Yes, exactly.
If that happened, I would just laugh. I would be like, I'm fine with it.
Coincidentally, A New Hope was the first movie I watched when I downloaded Disney Plus. And I heard that and I was like, wait, hold on. What
is going on? It's funny. I was watching Return of the Jedi because I had just watched Empire Strikes Back a couple days beforehand. So naturally I go in order.
Nice.
Or at least if I start a trilogy, I tend to watch that trilogy or whatever. Like if I start with episode one, I watch two and three after that. But I think, Dennis, it was you. You texted me the article or something, and then like about McCluckney, and then I went on Facebook and it was all over the celebration group.
Get it right. It's not McCluckney, it's McClunky.
Whatever, McClucky, whatever. I don't know.
It's not a chicken.
I can't talk. I'm from Jersey, okay? I got an accent.
Man, Greedo as a chicken, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, you know, they've never done that.
They did a monkey, right? They did the chimp.
Mm-hmm.
For Palpatine. But
they did.
So I wanted to ask you, Kyle, because we have a lot of stuff coming up with, you know, the High Republic, and we heard a while back that Rian Johnson may be getting his own trilogy. Haven't heard much of that at all, but then we just recently heard for sure confirmed that Taika Waititi is going to be at least filming a Star Wars film.
I'm interested to see if it's going to be a solo movie or if it's going to be part of a trilogy. But Taika's a fantastic director, man. And the finale of Mandalorian was off the
wall. I was going to say, look what he did in The Mandalorian.
Have you guys seen Jojo Rabbit?
No.
I have not.
Oh man, I will send you guys my copy. It is so good. It's one of the best movies of 2019 for sure. It's very heartwarming.
They do mention that a lot when it comes to him, and I'm like, I need to see this film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it was really funny because there's a really viral tweet last year when Taika was promoting Jojo Rabbit, and someone's like, "You'll never get that Oscar, Marvel boy," and then he obviously got the Oscar. So that's great.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a good choice just because, you know, I know some people didn't like Rian Johnson's humor in certain aspects of The Last Jedi, but I like those small moments of levity where it kind of felt a little, it didn't feel exactly Star Wars, but I think it had undertones of it. And I like how Taika did that as well, you know, with the scout troopers and everything in The Mandalorian. Yeah.
It was great.
I like that. And I think...
Except for I hated those scout troopers. Of course. I wanted to kill them. But that was the point. You were supposed to want to hate them.
What were you saying, Kyle?
I was saying it's even better that Jason Sudeikis voiced or played. I'm guessing he just voiced one of the scout troopers. I love that.
I know somebody's already... multiple people probably working on that cosplay right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially now that we're starting to get, like, child...
merch
things,
yeah,
you know, yeah,
you think they those, well, you guys know the biker scouts, the knee pads are upside down, right?
Yeah, everyone's been pointing that out.
Yeah, I wonder, knowing Filoni, man, and like how much Favreau loves the OT, I feel like they did that on purpose just to show that like these are remnant troopers, they're essentially mercenaries at this point, you know.
I also feel like Filoni and Favreau might do that just to annoy some of the fans that are like super nitpicky.
That'd be funny too if they did it for that reason. Then yeah,
just as a troll, like the massive troll, I could see Filoni doing
that. Fantastic! I could totally see him doing that too.
But I gotta say, when I saw Thor Ragnarok for the first time, I really enjoyed that humor. I felt like it's probably one of my favorite out of the Thor films, to be honest.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Oh, it's easily the best Thor film. It's one of my favorite, what I call Avengers films. Like, I don't necessarily mean if Avengers is in the title. Like, some people say Marvel movies, I just say Avengers movies. Like,
fair enough.
Yeah, but yeah, no, it was easily, and I almost didn't go see it. Like, I remember, like, I was like, I might skip this one, because I remember when I saw Dark World, I was like, this is, okay.
It was a little different, yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah, and like part of the reason I wanted to see it was because I knew Hulk was going to be in it. And I'm like, all right, well, I like Hulk. I want to see kind of what they do with him. And then I saw the movie and I ended up seeing it again. Like I really enjoyed it a lot.
So Kyle, I wanted to ask you, kind of bringing it back to Star Wars a little bit, what is something that you're looking forward to, I guess, talking about Taika and maybe him bringing something different to the Star Wars universe, maybe disconnected from the Skywalker saga, or maybe in some ways, you know, tying in little bits and pieces there. Maybe not just what he might do, but overall, like, what are you hoping to see maybe in like 5 or 6 years if we, you know, stay on schedule because of all this COVID stuff? Like, anything you want to happen with the Star Wars universe?
I'd love to see him direct the first in a High Republic trilogy. I love that idea. I personally would have preferred Old Republic, not because of the Jedi or the era, but I love the idea that there's thousands of Sith and that they just topple one another to the point where they have to create the rule of two, you know? I love that idea of they just kill each other to in a race to the top. So I'm guessing in the High Republic, we'll already have the rule of two. But I like the idea also that there's Jedi. It's going to be like a Western, like there's Jedi protecting the Outer Rim and fighting off those space Vikings and whatnot. So I think Taika would have a lot of fun with that. And he's great at drama as well, not just the over-the-top action.
Yeah, I always find it interesting when we get to The Phantom Menace and episode one, and they're like, they basically say the Sith have been gone forever. And then, you know, Darth Maul's like, you know, finally we'll have a revenge. I always think, what happened in the past that would make them want to have revenge? I know they have like the Legends part, which isn't quote unquote considered canon anymore, but like, I'd like to see what happened in the past that enraged the Sith so much that now they feel they need to take revenge on the Jedi.
Yeah, I like that point.
Maybe we'll get that at some point.
I think we will. I mean, they have so much storytelling opportunities here. I think that they have a great cast and a great team assembled and probably going to, you know, bring on more as they go. Anything you, David, would like to see maybe in the next few years?
Other than Solo 2.
yeah, so holding out. Make Solo 2 happen.
Yep.
Yes! That'd May 25th. Don't forget, it's Make Solo 2 Happen Day. You got a hashtag.
Hey, and you know what we can't forget is next week
is
the 40th anniversary of Empire.
Yes, it is. Are we watching it?
Sure. Why not?
We should do like a little Zoom call or something.
Yeah.
Oh my God, let's do it. That would be awesome.
For sure. I would really love to see, because the way that graphics have progressed now and like Jedi Fallen Order, I would love to see an open world RPG Star Wars game.
That would be something.
That would be cool.
You can go wherever you want, however you want, and it's just so expansive to where you don't have to necessarily stay locked within a storyline, and you don't, you know, I still like the one player kind of thing, because I feel like when you get online and you play with people who've been playing all day and you get beat by a 6-year-old,
right,
it's like it kind of, you know, it kind of takes
that's
the fun.
That's never happened to me.
Oh, it's happened to me so much. It makes me shut it off.
Agreed.
But I feel like they could still do that one player or a single story mode, but it in a way that you can go. And they can make it both options. To be quite honest, they could do both. And then you can choose whether you want to do that offline or online with multiple players. And then just go like, I want to go to Naboo, or I want to go to Mustafar, or I want to go here. And then have different ways you can interact on those places.
Didn't they do that with an online game? Like around, it was before Disney bought Star Wars. I want to say like 2009, 2010. Like there was some kind of Star Wars online role-playing game. Like you created a character, and I'm pretty sure it was open world. But you had to pay like a monthly subscription to it or something. I never did it because, you know, we all know how reliable my internet connection is.
Do you remember that one, Kyle? Did you remember anything about that?
No, before Disney bought Star Wars, I mainly played just Battlefront and Republic Commandos. I love that game.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely
I swear,
see them.
It was something online.
I see them potentially doing that again, where, you know, since if you have like
awesome.
The PlayStation Store, you would have to be paying a fee every month anyway to be online, but you would have the option to be able to do it like a single player mode offline. I think they could definitely do that. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that they could continue doing. And I feel like a lot of people give Disney a lot of crap about how, you know, whatever, they ruined Star Wars, but I think they really revived it.
I think they did too. But Dennis, to answer your question, one of the things that I've always kind of had in the back of my head since they've been picking and choosing what they're doing, like bringing in from Legends and stuff, there was a comic book called Legacy that took the story like 150 years past Return of the Jedi. And it was like, his name was Cade Skywalker. Now, they don't necessarily have to have Cade Skywalker, but I would like to see kind of like the future of the galaxy, like maybe after the Jedi and the Sith are wiped out and like they're no more, and like either the Sith start to come back or the Jedi start to come back, like something. That's basically what that was. Cade Skywalker was a bounty hunter, and then he found out that he was the last in this bloodline of the mighty Skywalkers, and he had to rise up and fulfill his destiny because the dark side was coming or whatever. But it took place far enough in the future where no one else was in it. And it was all these new characters. I just thought it was interesting seeing like the future of the galaxy.
Yeah, for sure.
I know there's a lot of talk of going in the past, which I am also interested in, but I just want, that was one of the comic series is that I actually bought them. Marvel's like reissuing all these, like all the old Legends comics in these like big books, collections of them. And they had two volumes worth for this Star Wars Legacy that I was able to pick up. So I'm looking forward to kind of reading that again and getting
that's cool, man.
More, because I never got to finish it. I read like the first couple issues and that was it.
Kyle, you mentioned about like the space pirates kind of thing they're going with in the High Republic. I couldn't help but see that they named them like the Nihil, and I connected that immediately to Darth Nihilus because it's spelled the same. Do you think we could potentially see like that is the big baddie of this trilogy, I guess?
That would be amazing. I'd be interested to see how they connect the Nile to Darth Nihilus. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but
I think you are.
You know, he's one of my favorite Sith from Legends and everything like that. So that'd be a great connection. I don't think that was done accidentally. If it was, they should have done the research.
But yeah, for sure.
I think that would be
right? Exactly.
Because I know like Kathleen has said that they don't have backstories and source material like Marvel does, which is just not true. But because they've gone back and pulled things from Legends from all of this, which is good. I mean, it's good. Right. You don't have to follow it blindly and honor it, but or it's good to honor it is what I'm saying. So,
well, I feel like as much as I love what Kathy has done with certain things in the Star Wars franchise, she's also said, especially from what I remember on the blue carpet of The Rise of Skywalker, she was saying for months in advance how this is the end of the Skywalker saga. This is the end of the Skywalker saga. And then when she was asked on the blue carpet for the premiere, she goes, well, kind of. And I'm like, well,
do you
seriously?
Do you remember how pissed off I was?
I do. That's why I'm mentioning.
I called you. I was like, Dennis, you're like, I'm trying to watch this. I'm like, I know, but Dennis, what did she just say? Did she say what I thought she just said?
Yeah. So I feel like she's good when talking with like PR and not maybe revealing as much, but then also throwing in those little things where it kind of makes you think like, well, is it the end of this? You know? And so I feel like what you were saying, Kyle, you know, she may have said things, but then, you know, later on she'll, you know, reverse whatever she said or maybe kind of expand upon what she may have hinted at. So we'll just have to see. You know, there's plenty of things that they could do. And since Disney owns all of this now, and I don't mean to be like, you know, it's all about capitalism, but you know, the more money they make and the more fans that they can get into this franchise, you know, the better off they're going to be.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're starting to realize that the future of Star Wars might be in TV, man. Well, not TV specifically, like cable, but with Disney Plus.
Oh yeah.
Because if you think about it, the sequels, no matter what you think about them, a lot of it was controversial. There's no denying that. But Disney gave us Rebels and they gave us Mandalorian. And I will always love them for that because I cherish those two shows so much.
And we finished Clone Wars.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. They definitely did it better than what Lucasfilm could have done. Just Keith Kellogg and that whole animation team, like the lighting especially.
Oh, yeah.
The decision, I wouldn't give them credit for bringing it back. They should have canceled it in the first place.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
But the cancellation, wasn't it more because if they had made more, it was going to have to air on Cartoon Network? Like, wasn't that more of the reason they canceled it? I thought that had a real big decision in there. Like, that was part of the whole, like, because licensing and all that, like, they had, and I thought that was part of why it took so long to get another season of Clone Wars, because they had to wait for that contract to go out. I could be wrong, but I thought I remembered reading that somewhere.
I'm not sure. If that's the case, then like I'll rescind like my statement. But
no rescinding necessary.
You better rescind it. They're gonna find you, Kyle.
All right.
But no, they did a fantastic job with season 7, man. Like the like Filoni said, this technology they had available, they were able to make these episodes more cost effective than they were originally. I think they were costing like $1 million an episode when Lucasfilm was doing it. So whatever Disney did, man, the animation was, it was like Toy Story level.
Well, I think, didn't they say that they spent $10 million an episode on Mandalorian?
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's insane.
Most expensive TV show ever made.
But hey, I mean, they did it. It's fantastic.
Oh, it's freaking phenomenal.
I think those costs will go down just because the video game VR technology is so brand new in television.
Well, I was going to say, and it was kind of like the first Star Wars movie where they were building the motion control camera and they were building, you know what I mean? Like for Mandalorian, they had to build those screens and build like the, you know, I think they spent a lot of the money doing that stuff.
I can't wait till that. I don't know if it's this Friday or next Friday, but the episode about the technology, I can't wait to see that.
Oh, I hope it's this Friday because now
I think it is.
Nice. So actually, Kyle, since you're on the show, I wanted to kind of switch gears here. You are a filmmaker of yourself, right?
Yes, yes. About three, almost 4 years. I am with a group called Alabaster Effect. It's a independent film production company. We're just a motley crew of a really diverse group of people. I've just recently got into directing. We focus in shorts. We've been in a few film festivals already, which I'm very thankful for. But yeah, filmmaking has been my passion. We just met my freshman year of college. My friend Ivan Kaiser and I, we were in a class called Writing About Film. We watched a lot of great stuff like 12 Angry Men and The Conversation.
Oh, wow.
And he already had the group going for a few years. But recently, we really amped it up. We're releasing a lot of projects, and the production scale and quality has only grown over the past year or so.
That's awesome, man. I'm really impressed because, you know, even the photos you sent us of behind the scenes, it looks like something, you know, what we need? We need a Kyle behind the scenes art book of whatever films you're working on.
Yes, that would be awesome. I will pre-order it, and hopefully it won't come out, you know, 4 months after the movie.
Yeah, we're definitely, especially with this movie we were filming the past week, we were doing a lot of behind the scenes footage and pictures. So I'm posting them all up on my social media and our Facebook page as well. It's just Alabaster Effect. We've been doing a lot more behind the scenes, just not only to promote what we're doing, but just for ourselves. Like, these memories are great. And no matter where this filmmaking process takes me as a director or an actor or a writer, because that's where it all started for me, having these memories is something I'll cherish forever.
That's great, man. What's the name of that movie? I think you mentioned it to us.
It's called Avocado Desperado. It's going to be a 15-minute short about a group of people who smuggle paraphernalia inside of avocados, and it ends with a shootout. So it's going to be great.
That sounds really cool, man. I can't wait to see it. Do you have any kind of like time frame of when that might be out?
It'll be in July. We just finished filming yesterday. We're going to edit it, decide if we need reshoots or not. But yeah, it'll be out in July.
Wait, you don't have reshoots built into the schedule? I mean, come on.
We do. That's why we said.
What kind of production company are you?
That's why we said July, just in case. Just because we all have jobs.
You have
to
schedule reshoots, man. If the Star Wars sequel trilogy has taught us anything, you have to schedule reshoots.
July is your tentative date, isn't it? It's that.
No matter what, it'll be out in July. Okay. It'll take us a couple weeks to edit, but we did finish principal photography yesterday. So even if we do need reshoots, that'll be done before June rolls around. So yeah, we had the schedule pretty much set.
Well, David and I will let JJ know. I think he'll love stopping by and kind of maybe seeing how it's going.
Right? Absolutely. Kyle, has the pandemic, I mean, I'm sure the answer is yes, but like, has it affected like the festival circuit for like film festivals and stuff? Like, are they moving to like an online kind of thing, or are they just kind of waiting? Like, what's going on with that?
I've seen about half and half. I know there's a couple that have done them online. We haven't submitted to any of those yet. We really like going in person and meeting people and making connections and promoting what we're doing. Yeah. The closest thing I can compare them to is conventions. It's a lot of people in a small area. It's just showing films all day long. So as soon as we move through these phases and large gatherings are allowed again, we'll start submitting everything we do to festivals again, and hopefully it turns out for the best.
Nice.
I think we should all have a 2020 reset. I think we should just restart this whole year.
Yes, please.
That would be fantastic. Yes, please.
Well, that's definitely exciting, man. I envy you because that kind of creativeness just does not flow out of me very easily. It takes a lot of effort.
Shut up.
I'm serious.
That is not true.
It is.
That is not true.
The effort that I have to extend to have any kind of, I'm a very right-brained kind of A-type, and so for me to go into that realm, it takes a bit of effort, but it's awesome that
you're doing that, man.
Thank you, man.
You edit our podcasts.
Well, yeah, editing is one thing, but writing and directing is a whole different story.
No, but like you're kind of doing it. George Lucas always says you film one movie and then you edit another.
Right. I mean, it does.
It's the same with podcast episodes.
It does take some effort. That's all I'm saying.
It does. I mean, you throw in your, you know, like your little audio clips and like, you know, at like appropriate moments, and it makes me laugh when I'm listening to it at 2 a.m. and it's fantastic. Like, it's great.
Well, thank you, David. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Kyle, you kind of mentioned where people can go watch the film once it's out. But if they wanted to, you know, talk to you about it or maybe, you know, send you a message, where can they find you on the social media sphere?
Oh, I'm everywhere, man. I'm sure they'll post my name in the description, just Kyle Tetzloff. You guys can reach me Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, anything like that. If you just want to talk about film or ask questions about our processes or talk Star Wars, any nerdum like that, I'm always available to talk. I love just meeting new people. And our YouTube channel is Alabaster Effect. Same with Facebook. That's Alabaster Effect. So yeah, Facebook and YouTube is the best way to watch our videos.
Awesome. For David and I, when you're listening to this, Jawa Jabber can be found on the same areas. You can just look up Jawa Jabber or on Twitter, our handle is Jabbering Jawas. David's is The Chosen Wren 83, and mine is Ben Solo's Shadow. If you guys want to hit us up on there, let us know what you think of the episode. We're so glad to have you on, Kyle. We've been talking about it forever, and we're glad we finally were able to all sit down and talk about everything that we love about Star Wars and beyond that.
Thank you, man. So much again. It's an honor and a privilege. I love talking Star Wars with you guys on and off the air. It's a great privilege.
Yeah, we definitely do a lot of off the air talking for sure.
No, we don't. What are you talking about?
It's not like we don't have a group chat on every form of social media. So
right,
it's true. We do.
I'll never forget after we did like our first podcast. And like, I called you, Dennis, like a day later, and you gave me the impression, I don't know if this was intentional or not, but you gave me the impression that like, we were not able to talk to each other unless we were recording. And like, I forget what you said, but I was just like, we are going to have off-air conversations. You know this, right?
I think what I mentioned was just basically that I, you know, there was like stuff you were starting to talk about. I'm like, oh no, this is good. Let's get it on the podcast. Like, stop talking. Hold on.
Right, yeah, maybe.
But yeah, something of that nature.
Mm-hmm. I'll never forget it. It was so funny. I was like, no. Like, we're still talking.
So that has been our special episode of Jawa Jabber with Kyle. And we, like we said before, we're so glad we had you on. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to do that. I know you're busy and moving and all that, but definitely something that we wanted to do for a while. And for everybody else who's listening, thank you for listening to our episode. Like I've mentioned before, it may be a little while to when it gets out, but I'm going to try my best to get it out early so that we could all enjoy the conversation that we had on here. So that's it. So until next time, I'm David.
And I guess that makes me Dennis.
And I'm Kyle. And may the Force be with you.
Always.
Jabber, a Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited and is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. All names, sounds, and all Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders, unless otherwise indicated. Jawa Jabber, broadcasting exclusively on Utini Radio. Zega mshabe fika laba umdaba walapha aba bamukela ngezandla ezimhlophe kuthiwa bakwa uyigidi ngegidi ezazihlala kule ndawo.
Move along.